Can we just clap for the Lord? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I just thank the Lord for what he's doing in my life, in your life, in this church. Because even though we're in a test, the clock is still ticking. And the midnight hour is getting closer and closer. And when you think not, that's when the Lord is going to come. When you think not. And he tells us to keep our eyes to the eastern sky, because we know that any time, all the prophecies have been fulfilled to the time of the rapture. And it could be any time when you think not. He's on his way. Hallelujah. Can we just pray for the message tonight and what God's going to do? Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, because you are so good. God, it doesn't really matter what we go through, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you never change. You love us, God, with all the love that is out of this world that we can't even comprehend. You deal with our lives, and God, you've already showed me the confirmation of this message. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to have your way. God, touch the hearts, touch the minds, and Lord, thy will be done, and we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just give him another hand clap? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy. God, you are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Brother Mundy? It's a childhood thing, you know, you got to hang on to something to feel secure. That when sinners can come, and yes, we don't even use that word anymore because we don't want to use the wrong language, but when sinners come, because I was a sinner, I still am a sinner saved by grace, hallelujah, born again, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. My name and your name, if you've been that way, is on the roll, and we're going to go up yonder soon, hallelujah. God is coming, and he's getting us ready. He's getting the church ready. He's perfecting the church. And those tests with the open book, they may not be easy, church. And it may seem like the world's coming against us. And you know what? It is. If we're living right for God, it's going to be. We cannot join hands with the world. We are not of the world. We're in it, but we are not of it. And they have to see a difference. And this is all free. It wasn't in my notes. Praise the Lord. I've asked to have the screen down for a little bit so that we can have some scriptures put up tonight, because I'd like to go through some scriptures kind of fast to set a basis here. I was going to preach one message and had it all worked out and had it written up, and when I went to write it the second time, a little bit came off it, and the third time a lot came off it. So whatever God wants, let him have his way. Amen? I want to talk a little bit about God's character in the beginning tonight. God's character. And for most of us, this is like just a reminder. You know, when you preach to the choir, everybody knows what's going on. And it's just a reminder because God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to forget all his goodness, all his mercy. I mean, so much was already said tonight that I have down here in my notes. Praise the Lord. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, God talks about his love, his attributes, his character, the things about God. And he says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. He's writing to the church. So we should know, we shouldn't have to doubt, God loves us. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It's not like what Brother Schumacher said. You know, some of us, he doesn't love as much as others, so we're going to go through a test. Now, let me just tell you, he was kidding. Right, Pastor? God loves you, and he loves me. And he wouldn't give us a test if he didn't know that we couldn't handle it. And even in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. So when we have that test set before us, we've got to claim the love of God. We've got to know that God loves us. And he does. Again, it's an open book. Look, you can go right now. 1 John 4 and 8. God is love. And he loves us. Also, right there in that same chapter, verse 16. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. God's another character or characteristic of God is righteousness. God is a very righteous God. And Psalms 119 and verse 137 says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. God is righteous. In Psalms 145 and verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. God is a righteous, loving God. Mercy is another attribute or characteristic of God. Do you remember, okay, in the old paths, you know, when I was young, when character meant something, and we were taught about integrity and truth, and that our name, how we lived, represented what our name was. That if we were a good person, we had a good name. And if we had a bad, if we were a bad person, we had a bad name. And I don't know what they're teaching in the school today. I don't know if they're hitting that subject anymore. If integrity really means something in the school. Or if we're just living a life that doesn't mean anything anymore. We can behave any way we want. Do whatever we want. And we don't need to have integrity. But that's not God's way. That's the system's way. That's the devil's way. And he slides in and he does whatever he wants to do. And he tries to affect our lives. That it has an effect that, oh, I can do that. Or I can do this. But God is a just God, a righteous God, a merciful God, a loving God. And we know that when we go to God, he doesn't change. He is always that way. But yet when you go to people, today they're up, tomorrow they're down. I heard a preacher say yesterday, you know, we can go to church and say, man, I love Jesus, and go home and act like the devil. And some of us do. That's the present. Thank God some of us did. I know we're all tempted. And we all fall, but we all get up again and we all try to do what is right, righteous, because we have a righteous God and we want to please him. We want to serve him and be like him. Mercy. God is a merciful God. Nehemiah chapter 6 and 16 and 17 says, but they and our fathers dwelt proudly and harden their necks, and hearken not to thy commandments, and refuse to obey. neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou, in all of that, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. We have no excuse, church, to walk away from God. We have no excuse to say, well, I got to get better. We have no excuse to say, I am so bad that God wouldn't love me. We have no excuse to say that God won't change me. Because God loves mercy. God is merciful. And we can't blame God. Amen? Nehemiah 9 and 31 says, nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. I'm telling you, church, God will never forsake us. Never. That's his word, and God can't lie. That's an attribute of God. He cannot lie. Hallelujah. In Psalms 37 and 26, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. How many have ever been blessed by God? Woo! Every day. Every day. Are you breathing? Are you walking? Are you seeing? Are you hearing? I mean, it's getting a little dimmer, but you know. We are blessed. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. And I think some of that's our problem. America has been so blessed. We've been given everything. And we don't know what it's like to have to really work and earn and serve and ask God and trust God and lean on God, because it's always right there at our need. Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. God is holy. He is a holy God. I get it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Leviticus 19:2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is a holy God, and if we are his people filled with his spirit, God wants us to be holy. And it's not just in putting on clothes. It starts in the heart. Holiness starts in the heart, and it goes to the mind and our thoughts, and it goes to our eyes, to what we see, how we walk and how we talk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 6:3. And one cried one unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings round about, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. God is a holy God. Men cry holy. Angels cry holy. Hallelujah. God is faithful. He is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps commandment or covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. If God has given you a promise, it will happen. God is a faithful God. If God has given you something in this word, it will happen. If God says the rapture is going to take place, believe me, it will happen. And it's happening. Number two, 1 Corinthians verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called and unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. We don't have any excuse, church. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also, everybody say also, make a way to what? If we're tempted, God is going to make a way. If we will listen to him and if we really want to do what he wants us to do, he will open that door to make a way to escape so that we do not have to sin and we do not have to fall and we do not have to walk away. We do not have to get down. Amen? Easier said than done. But when we can't do it in our own strength, God is there to help us. And he who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God's character never changes. God never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He is the same in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. Acts 10:34. When Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. God is not going to be helping somebody over here and saying, well, you know, you just weren't good enough. I don't know you. He doesn't go by culture. He doesn't go by color. He doesn't go by gender. When we really want to go to God, just like Brother Portman said this morning, or I'm sorry, before the service opened tonight, he said, you know that, now I forgot what I was going to say. I lost it. Just like that. That's part of that old Paz. Praise God. I'll catch up to it when I walk down it. But God does love us. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 10. I said all that about God's character because I want to show you something. If God did something for somebody in the Bible under a situation, in a stressful situation, in a warring situation, in a trying situation, he's not going to do it for them and not do it for us. If we seek him, if we call upon him and turn to him. In Joshua chapter 10 and starting in verse 5. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Just a little history, a little reminder. When God told Joshua to go in and take the land and kill everybody and take out all the Canaanites and all the people in that land so Israel could come in to a clean land, the Gibeonites had heard about it, and they were a little bit sly. So they kind of said, well, you know, we know that their God is going to kill us all, so if we put on these clothes and make it look like we've come from a far country and we take this bread and we make it old and look like it's kind of moldy and stuff, and our water is all run out, and we come to them and say, you know, we've come from a far place, we've heard about you and we've heard about your God, would you make a league with us? Joshua didn't ask God about it. He just said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. He probably had a good heart, just like a lot of us. And so he makes a league with them. And about 3 days later, the truth really comes out. They were right down, they were neighbors. And they used trickery for Joshua. And now that he had already made a league about it, it was too late. And so he prayed about it, and God said, okay, you know, let them stay. And Joshua made them like water carriers and servants. And so now there's a war, a battle going on in the mountain, and the five kings are coming up against the Gibeonites, and they're going to take them out. Think about this, church. They weren't even the Jews. They weren't even God's kids. They were servants to them. And God said to Joshua, go ahead. I'm with you. I'm going to fight that battle. You know, we come in here and before we understand what's going on and we think God doesn't know us or we're not good enough and God's going to reject us. God's not going to reject us when we come with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul and we seek him. Not when we, and I found it, Brother Portman, not when we just kind of push the button and find the phone, you know, but when we truly want to come to God and we need something, we need him. He is our something and he is our everything. He becomes our everything. And God will take care of us. And that's how he calls us. Why do you think you're here tonight? God has called each and every one of you. You're not here just because you happen to, well, I'll do this for my family, or I'll do this because I've been, for a long time, I said, I'd go visit that church. But you're here because God has been working in your heart, maybe unseen things. And you're here because God has brought you here, because God's going to do something in your life. He desires you. He wants to put his arms around you, and he wants to hold you close and bring you to him and let you know more about him. And so with these Gibeonites, he's going to fight for them. And they're not even the Jews. And so in verse 6, it says, and the men of Gideon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountain are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horam, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and before in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with the hailstones than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. When God fights our battles, he wears the victor's crown. He wears the victor's crown. And each one of us has to have that walk with him. Each one of us has to go through that test with him to see that he is the victor of our life, not the victor of my husband's life or my wife's life or my child's life or this life, but our life, my life. We have to know him on such a personal basis that we know that he is going to fight our battles for us. He's not going to ever walk away. He's not ever going to let us down. But we can't ride on somebody else's shirt tail and expect God to be our victor. Sometimes it's easy to do. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world and so busy, we forget to take time to pray. What happens when we don't take time to pray? We lose the mind of Christ and the sensitivity. It's just like fasting. When we don't fast, we don't kill the flesh. And when we don't kill the flesh, we're a little bit less sensitive to the things of God. God never said it was an easy walk. In fact, he said in the New Testament in Matthew, he said, the violent take it by force. But whatever he tells us to go through, he's going to take us through it and bring us out, because he wants a church that's holy and perfect and that glorifies him. And that's what we are. We're the bride of Christ. He is in the process of getting his bride ready to take home. This is the awesome thing about God. In Joshua 10 and verse 12, it says, "And then Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel, sun stand still. And thou still, sorry, sun stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Alajon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before nor after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel." The power that God has given us. Joshua didn't say, "Well, Lord, can I stop the sun? Can I stop the moon?" He was walking now in the will of God. He was talking to God. He was waiting on God. He was watching God fight the battle for him. They just had a hailstorm and taken out the Amorites. They saw that. And now Joshua stood to the plate and he said, "Son, stand still. We've got some cleanup to do." And that's what they did. They went in and they spoiled the enemy because God had already killed him. And God allowed him to take the sun and stand still. What kind of power do you have in your walk with God? That same God that took out that army with hailstones, that same God is living inside of you and inside of me. All we have to do is speak the word. When we're living with God, walking with God, praying and seeking his face, knowing what the will of God is, not our will, but his will, and being ready to submit, that word that we speak is going to hold the sun. And when I talk about the sun, I can say in the New Testament, the sun was stopped by those that sought him. By a woman that made her way through a crowd that had an issue of blood because she needed something. She stopped the sun. By a blind man that, "Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David, I need my eyesight." Because a man that was blind could stop the sun and he turned around. Eyes were healed. Situations were healed. Family situations. Work situations. Praise God. Hopeless situations that are not hopeless in God. Because God can do anything. God specializes in the impossible. I heard a story yesterday and it made me laugh. And I'm going to try to remember it and tell you. The lady that was speaking was speaking to a bunch of ladies. And she had been to Mexico. And while she was there, she was talking to the owner of this house and compound. And if you've been to Mexico or you've been overseas, you know, a lot of people have compounds. And in that compound, this lady raised chickens. And she said to Sister Cobb, she says, "I'm going to tell you something. This chicken will attack you. I want to show you. It's a death chicken." And it wasn't even a banty rooster, but it was a rooster. And so they went back there, and when they got back by the coop, she takes off the garbage lid can, you know, because it's metal and it looks like a shield. And the lady goes, "What's that for?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, you need this." And so she takes the shield, and she's taking it like that. And as they're walking across by the fence, that old rooster, you know, and that old crown was sticking up. And, And he was just walking right with him, you know, like, you're not going to take my territory. And she says, watch when I go into the pen. So she opens the gate, you know, and she goes, and that old chicken, you know, was coming right against her. And she said, but there's one person that chicken, that rooster, do you need me to tell you, show you how it was? You couldn't see it on that side. And she says, one person that chicken will not go after, and that's my husband. And Sister Cobb said, well, what happened to your husband? What'd he do? She said, one day, he walked into that chicken coop, and he picked up that chicken by the neck, and he turned it upside down, and he went to every little chick in there, upside down, and he showed that chick, that rooster, right in front of it, because that rooster was trying to make a scene in front of all those other little chicks. The cool comparison to that, I thought, was awesome. Adam was given authority over the earth. Go guard it. Go protect it. Go dress it. But when Satan came to Adam and Eve and tempted them, they surrendered that authority because they fell. They lost what God had given to them. And that authority was given to Satan. Yes, he has to go to God. He stood before God with Job. You can have this man, but don't do this and this and this. And there's things in the earth that the devil can do. There are winds, there are storms, and there's darkness, and he can use people. And he takes advantage of every little thing that he can get. And especially when he can take the chance of going in front of somebody and waving something in front of them. I got this one. I got this one. Look at that Christian. Look what they're doing. Look at, and wave to his devils and wave to his imps and just show off those that he has trophies of. But the victory to that situation was when Jesus, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 8, start in verse 3. Start in verse 7, I'm sorry. In verse 7 it says, Jesus said unto him, this is when Satan is tempting Jesus after he fasted, he takes him up. And it says, the devil again takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, get hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When Jesus didn't say, Satan, you're a liar, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't have any authority to do this, Jesus was quiet. He didn't say a word, but he did say, it is written, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only, and thou shalt serve. But how do you think that Peter got the keys to the kingdom? How did he get them back? When Jesus was died and crucified and rose again, where did he go? He went down into the lower. He descended down, and when he came up, he had the crown. He had the crown, the victorious crown. And what did he do with that crown? He waved it in front of every little devil. And he said, I'm going to set man free. The captives are going to be led and set free. He's going to give gifts unto men. And he's waving that crown in front of all these little devils because he is victorious. In all areas, he went down, he died, and he rose again. And now, what did he do with that victory? He has come and given the Holy Ghost to you and me. He has given us truth and showed us how that we can live for him through baptism again in the name of Jesus. It's above every name, that there is no other name under earth given among men whereby we must be saved. That name of Jesus will take us through any trial, any test. It will deliver us. And all we have to do is call on that name. He is victorious. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Hallelujah. One of my best scriptures I didn't write down. I think it's in Colossians chapter 2. And starting in verse 13, let's go to 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherefore also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. No longer did Satan have any power. But when Jesus arose again, and the covenants and everything that he had broken, that man had broken, Jesus repaired again through Calvary, through the blood, and given us victory to walk with God. God does fight for us. He opened the door through Peter. It started at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and right onto us. It has come down. The victory has come down. And does our God fight for us? Yes. He is our defense, our fortress, our hiding place, our refuge. He's our shield and our victory and our assurance. God does not change. If you want to stop the sun, you've got the power to stop the sun. And all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus, and he will hear you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Jenkins. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Verse 15 of that same scripture says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Sister Dombeck years ago sang several times this song, ain't no devil in hell going to step on to Jesus and me. And it's so true. We've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. Amen. You need to think about that more often. I've got power. I've got authority. The authority was given to me when Jesus said, after Calvary, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you have Christ in you, you have power, all power over heaven and earth. We have the power to dispatch angels. We have the power to come against devils. We have the power to ask for that which nobody on the face of the earth can ask for, because God has laid it in our hands to do that. We live so far below our privilege. And I have a tendency, just like you have a tendency, to start complaining and whining, and it's just a waste of time. Why whine when you can pray? Why complain when you can worship and get the victory? Amen. Well, we've got 150,000 Midianites, and I tell you what, God's going to deliver some stuff for us to get the victory. We got some pitchers, and we got some lamps, and we got some trumpets. You know, this shall do it, won't it? That with your pitchforks, you should be able to get the victory. You know, stand still and see the hand of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel that there's a level of faith that has risen in here tonight. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen, amen. If you need a little more power, there's power right here at the altar. Would you come?